for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about really the whole, the purpose. I like to take time to peel back the layers of why we do what we do and kind of what it really means. I think if you've been in church any time at all, you've probably sat in a church where a pastor has said some words that you really have no clue what they mean. And the only time you hear those words are in a church service. I don't like to do that. I think that's a waste of time. I'm not a very religious person. I like to just kind of get it right out there in front of you in a way that you and I can all relate to it and understand it. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what Christmas is all about. And today specifically, we're going to talk about light. You know that Christmas is all about lights. You see them everywhere, and people decorate. And we talked about Jesus, the light of heaven, and that's a big focus this time of year. Light's important. I mean, you got to be able to see stuff. When I was young, my first experience deer hunting was an adventure. I was young. I went with a friend, and his dad took me out. We were down in Texas, and down around College Station, drove down, slept, got up early, you know, did all the stuff, getting ready. Bright and early, that next morning, when I say bright and early, it's just only a matter of time because there was no light out. It was early. It was way before light. It was pitch black. We're up, freezing cold, bundled up, you know, waddling out to the truck. We drive a long way to get back to where we're going to hunt. Then we get out and we walk a long way in the pitch black. I have no idea where I'm going. All I have is this little light in front of me. I'm shining on the ground. I get back to the blind. It's on the ground. My friend's dad says, "This is you. Get in here. Be quiet. Don't make any noise. If you see something, shoot it." I guess that's how they do it down in Texas. I don't know. So I'm in the blind, you know, and it is pitch black. And I'm sitting in there, and I've got my gun next to me, and I'm being still, you know, and I've got these little slits where I can see in three directions. I'm back up against a tree, and so I'm sitting in this chair. It's an aluminum folding chair, so you know that's cold, and I'm just freezing, and I'm thinking, you know. And so he says, "You got to watch. You got to keep your eyes peeled because you never know when something might walk up." And so I'm looking. I'm watching. I'm looking out this side. I'm looking out the front. And I'm trying to be still because the guy had put the fear of God in me about how if you move just too quick, they could see you. And so you can't make any noise. And so I'm being so slow to turn and look. And usually, as is the case, I looked down and was fiddling with something. And then when I looked back up, I saw him. Just about, I mean, it wasn't 20 yards away. A big buck. And I am shaking pretty much. My adrenaline is just like, I mean, I really don't know what to do. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm just thinking, I know that I have to be super still. I know that I have to quickly get my rifle up and I can't make any noise and I've got to be real careful because he's so close and I don't want to spook him. And he was big. I mean, I'm looking through there and I can see these big antlers sticking up, huge. And I'm like, I don't want to scare him away. I don't want to move too quick. And so, seriously, it seemed like 15 minutes. I'm getting my rifle up. I'm trying to get it up. And I don't want to bump anything. I don't want to hit the edge of the deer blind. And so I finally get it up. And the thing is, I can only see him from the neck, like right here up. And I know you can't, I don't want to shoot him in the head. I know better than that. And so I'm thinking, I got to wait here just a second so he'll walk out and I can get a clean shot because this is the type of deer that is going to hang in my future home. And so I wait. And 15 minutes seem to go by. And so by this time, he's been standing out there for 30 minutes. And it's getting a little bit lighter. I'm thinking, all right, he's going to move when the kind of gets a little lighter. He's probably going to move a little bit. He might have heard me rustling around, and so he's being really still. And so I'm waiting, and I've got my rifle up, and I'm holding it up. And I don't know if you've ever held a rifle up where it's not resting on anything, but your shoulders start to burn, and your back starts to cramp up. But it doesn't matter. You can't move, because if you move, he's going to run off. So I wait another 15 minutes. By this time, it's been 45 minutes. And I guess he's a smart, old, grizzly old buck. And he knows maybe that I'm watching him. And so he's trying to stay just out of sight. And I'm telling you, it had to be 1 hour that went by with me sitting so still, frozen, with my shoulders on fire now. And then it happens. Up over the ridge behind me, the sun peeks out. And I start to see the outline of all the stuff around me. And I start to see my surroundings much better. And what I had waited for over an hour, frozen with muscles tensed, pain shooting now down my back, cramping in my legs and hips, was not a buck at all. As the light shone forth, what I thought was the big neck of a big old mature buck with a great rack was nothing more than a broken down tree with some branches growing out of the top of it. And so I had sat there for over an hour, aiming at something, tense, ready to fire. And come to find out, the whole time, staring at a tree. Now, of course, I know none of you guys have ever stared at anything for a long time and mistakenly thought that it was something else. That only happens to a select few. It happened to me on that day. Of course, this is the first time I've ever told that story. I definitely didn't tell that story to my friend's dad whenever we left. But it made a lot of sense to me as I thought about what I wanted to talk to you about today. And that is this. There are times in our life when we devote time, effort, and energy, that we direct all that we are towards something that we think is what we really want, but when the light shows forth and shows exactly what it really is, we realize that what we were seeing was not what we had been aiming for the entire time we had been aiming for it. Light does that. Light lets you see things much clearer than you could if you are looking in the shadows. Light enables us to see things clearly. And when we see clearly, we understand things better. When we can see clearly, our perception is better. Has your perception ever been off? See, perception is just how you see things. Have you ever had someone see you in a way that really wasn't you, but somehow they had some information that wasn't right, and so they judged you, and you're like, wait a second, that's not even me. Have you done that to somebody else, maybe? Have you had some limited information about somebody else, and you came to a conclusion about them that wasn't really true? But you were seeing them, and the way you perceive them brought you to a conclusion about them that wasn't right. And then when you met them, you realized that everything that everybody had been saying about them wasn't true. That person is so nice, I never knew that. Limited understanding, and when we perceive things based on limited information, can bring us to wrong conclusions. See, perception is just how we see. It's how we understand. It's how we interpret. And how we understand something determines how we interact with it. I was frozen in that deer blind because of the way I understood the image that I was looking at. I froze. But in all of my energy was focused on this thing that I thought was the thing that I wanted and needed. My perception of the stump became my reality. Have you ever heard that saying that perception is reality? Have you heard that? The way that you perceive the world is, it creates your world. See, my world, when I was in the deer blind, was created by the image that I saw. But the problem was, the image that I saw was not lit up, so I didn't really see what I was looking at. I saw a distorted image, and it led me to make decisions about my behavior that were wrong. Your reality is based on your perception. But what if what you see is distorted? What if what you see isn't really what you think you see? And everything that you've built relationships on, the direction of your life, is resting on a distorted image. See, reality is just how we see things. It's not how we perceive them. There's a whole world out there that exists, but that we might not ever know about because we perceive it in a different light. Limited perception alters what we see, and what we see then becomes distorted. And with a distorted perception, we see a distorted image. It could be a distorted image of another person. It could be a distorted image of a situation that we find ourselves in. But most of the time, we see a distorted image of ourself. Of ourself. And with a distorted image, our behavior and all that we do is impacted. See, distorted just means to be pulled and stretched, contorted, out of shape. But watch this. The purposeful altering of perception is deception. When someone purposely alters how you see something, that's the epitome of what deception is. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, deception is just causing someone to believe something that is not true. Now, when I said in the deer blind, no one caused me to see a distorted image. It just was kind of random chance. It was because I was an inexperienced hunter and I was unfamiliar with my surroundings. There was no cosmic, you know, being orchestrating the rising of the sun so that I would see a stump instead of a deer. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, we do see that there is someone actively working to alter your perception so that the image that you have of yourself and the situations that you face is altered. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding or their ability to perceive darkened, being alienated or separated from the life of God because of the ignorance or lack of knowledge or information that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, which adds onto this verse, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see. They don't understand the message unless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. I want you to notice in the first verse that I read you that when understanding is darkened, we are separated from the life of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you're separated in terms of a relationship, but the life of God benefits your life. That word in the Greek is zoe. It means the life force of God. It doesn't just mean Him living. It means there is a force available in the life of the believer that we can be connected to. But when we willingly walk in darkness, when our understanding is limited, when our perception is off, when we have a distorted view of who God is and who we are in His sight, we separate ourselves from that force working in our life. We are alienated from the life of God. See, here's the thing. There is a battle right now going on. And you know, the devil's not out there like with a pitchfork, you know, and a staff and weapons going around chopping people. And he's not kicking people and doing karate and judo on people. It's not what he's doing. The battle is not a physical battle. It's a battle between perception and reality. Because what you perceive to be real, legitimate, or true is what is real, legitimate, and true in your life, regardless if it's real, legitimate, or true. Because your perception is your reality. But what if outside of your perception, there is something more, something different? What if your perception is like me sitting in that deer stand and staring at something for hours, thinking it's something that it's not? What if we've been doing that in some area of our life? See, Satan works to keep us in the dark. He works to keep us in the dark, deceiving and distorting what we see. And God is working through churches, podcasts, Bible studies, small groups, student ministries, kids ministries. He's working to shine light in those areas where Satan tries to alter our perception by surrounding the things that we need to see with darkness. Do you see that? God wants to reveal to you and I what is real, what is true, not some altered version. He doesn't want us to sit in the deer stand of our life for hours on end staring at a stump. He wants to shine a spotlight right out in front of us and say, no, don't waste your time on this, because it's not what you're after. What we see isn't always the full picture. We have to be really careful about this. There is a world that is in operation beyond what you can see with your natural eye. There are things going on beyond what you can feel with your hands and hear with your ears. God works in that realm. And all the work that He is doing in your life, you don't get to see it with your natural eye. You have to see it, in a sense, with the eye of faith or with your spiritual eye. But we find ourselves living our lives only based off of what we see in front of us. And let me say this to you. If you haven't found out by now that the information available to you in this world is perverted and not true, then we've got a long way to go. There are only two sources of information that you and I take into our ears in this world. That is demonically inspired information and godly inspired information. That's it. There's no in between. It's either taking you closer to God or moving you further away. But what you allow to go in your ears, it creates an image. It creates a picture. And that picture that you see, it has an impact on who you are, what you do. It changes everything. That picture becomes the driving force behind you and your walk with God and your interaction with other people here on this earth. How you see yourself in your mind is based off of what information you've taken in. And how you see yourself in your mind determines everything. Everything. About how you walk out your Christian life, your journey here on earth. First John chapter 1 and verse 5. John says, "This is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." The message is that we find ourselves in wherever it might be, in our minds, in situations we find ourselves in, there are pockets of darkness. And what that means is just where we can't see the full picture. We can't see exactly what's out there. And the message, the very goal of God sending his son is to illuminate, to see fully what's in front of us, what's around us, into the detailed and complex makeup of every situation we find ourselves in. To see the answer to the questions that we've been asking ourselves. Is that a deer or is it a stump? What it takes to tell the difference between a deer and a stump in the wee morning hours is a light. Have you been aiming at a stump for year after year after year? Does it feel like you've been waiting and waiting, but facing the same thing over and over, the same cramping shoulders, pain in your back? Maybe it's time to shine a light. When we see clearly, our perception changes. Distortion and deception disappears because we see around every corner. There's nothing that can hide in the presence of light. But it's easy to hide in darkness. You don't know what's out there. That's why possibly, maybe even now, when you get in your bed, you don't want your feet hanging out of the end. If your feet are hanging out of the end and the lights are off, there's a critter that could get your feet. Right? Or a dog. Or a cat. Or what about this? I don't know if any of you still do this, but you might. You're going to get in your bed, but there's, and the light's off, and there's this space between the bed and the floor where a critter lives. You don't know what's in there, but you can't let your feet get close. You've got to jump a little bit so that it doesn't come out and get you on your ankles. Isn't it funny how we automatically think there's something there in the darkness? And that's exactly what darkness does. It leaves space for distorted images. You turn the light on and you roll around on the carpet right under the bed, not think twice about it. If the light's on, you don't need covers. But you turn the lights off, it's like batting down the hatches. You're tucking it under and you're getting in, you're all balled up in the bed because there could be something in the dark. God wants to shine a light. He wants to shine a light. You've probably done this too. You're in bed at night. You hear a noise, a rustling, maybe a kid crying, "Mom" or "Dad." They always say "Mom," by the way. But sometimes they say "Mom" and you get the nudge, and so you got to get out and go take care of business. But what you do is you hop up. You're kind of groggy, and you're just going down the hallway, and you're just marching. All of a sudden, you step on something, and it just buckles you, and you turn into jello, and you're down on the ground. You're screaming in pain, and you're thinking, what in the world could have brought this man to his knees? And you look down, and it's a Lego that you did not see in the floor. Isn't it funny how a small kid's toy can bring you to your knees when you step on it, and you didn't expect to, all because you couldn't see it? What about this? You're going down the hall. Maybe you get up to go to the bathroom in the night and you're just kind of going. And the same corner of the bed that's been there for 10 years is in the same spot it's always been. And yet tonight, the lights are out, and your little pinky toe, I have no idea how the pinky toe always wants to reach out and catch the corner of something, but it's dark at night, and it does. And so what happens is you catch the pinky toe, and it just lays over like this. It's at a 90-degree angle from where it was. And you've walked by that same bedpost for 10 years. When the lights are on, it's not a problem. But when you can't see, even the little things have a big impact. And you know, you can't put a cast on a little toe that's broke. I know, because I broke my little toe. I laid that thing over and it was ugly looking. But you can't do anything with it. It's just over there flopping like that. They just tell you, go on home, put some tape on it. Whew. So what enables us to see? Here's the thing. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp. It's a lamp unto our path. It shines on our feet. A light unto our path, a lamp to our feet. It shows us where we're going. You live in a world shrouded in darkness. If you haven't noticed that yet, you just go turn on the news or go watch your favorite sitcom or just go out into the world that you live in, and there are people who are running all over the place thinking they have answers to everything, and all the while, what they won't tell you is they're stubbing their toe and stepping on Legos all night long. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path. The word of God shines light to reveal the truth. Listen to me, in every situation, there is not a situation, there is nothing, there is nowhere that the word of God will not expose what is going on. There's no situation. Nothing is exempt from the light of the word of God. Nothing. Nothing. We've got to let the Word of God be the voice in our world, because it's the light that can shine in every dark crevice and corner of our lives. The Bible says there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. In fact, the Bible says that in the eyes of the Word of God, everything is naked and exposed. There is nothing hidden from the Word. But unless the Word of God is part of your life, it doesn't expose the things you need it to expose. And let me say this to you. The Word of God is not designed to expose things in your life to embarrass you. It's not designed to expose things in your life to punish you and to hurt you. The whole reason that the Word of God exposes the things in your life that need to be adjusted is so that they can get adjusted and you can experience the life that God intended for you. When you let the Word of God shine into your situation, you will quit stubbing your toe and stepping on Legos. The Word of God is like flipping on the light switch. It shows the what and why of your frustration and your pain. It shows why things just continue to happen the way they always happen. And I see it like God saying, hey, I've got the full answer for you right here. Can you just turn the light on before you run down the hall of your life? This is the thing, too. You and I don't see with our eyes when it comes to spiritual things. You can't see with your eyes. That's where the breakdown occurs. We want to walk with God with our natural vision, but that's not how He leads us. He leads us through the Word of God. And what the Word of God communicates to us changes how we see ourselves in our situation, in our relationships. How we see ourselves in general changes when we hear what the Word of God has to say about those situations. See, when you hear the Word of God, it begins to change the pictures in your mind. If I were to stand up here and tell you a story, and I had you close your eyes, and I'm up here talking, you don't see what I'm saying in words. You don't see paragraphs. You start to see a movie. You see a picture. You see an image. And for a lot of us, what has happened is over the years, whether it's from our parents or whether it's from experiences or whether it's from relationships we've been in, we have heard things that have created a picture in our mind that is distorted. And how we perceive and understand that picture determines how we behave. So when you get a mean, old, ugly person in your life, there's a good chance that the way they see the world is distorted. It's messed up here. You ever know someone who's just downright mean? You work with them right now, don't say their name, and you walk by their office and you're just like, why every day do you have to be mad at the world? You know why? It's because the image they see of themselves is distorted. And what you don't know about that person is they don't want to be that way. But they've been sitting in a deer blind for 3 hours, all tensed up, aiming at something that's not what God would have for them to aim at. And so that affects their behavior. And that person, the good news is none of us in here, I know that. I know that none of us have ever had a distorted view and it's impacted the ones that we love and the ones that, I know that. But those other people outside of the church out there who have distorted views, what the Word of God does is it starts to change that picture. And so then in turn, it changes you. Do you see that? It shines a light and says, wait a second, that's not what I thought it was. See, when we see clearly, the way we live changes. The problem is not that we can't do it. The problem is that we can't see it. In order for us to change, we have to be able to see differently. We can't see it because we've allowed someone else to create a distorted image of us, of what's possible for us. What's possible? I love my parents. I love my family. But I'm always going to believe what God says is possible for me above what they believe is possible. Because even me as a parent, I mean well for my kids. And I want to try to create the image in their minds of the reality that all things are possible. But I'll fall short. And maybe sometime in your life, someone has spoken to your life and they have fallen short and created a picture in your mind that you've lived by now. For all these years, you've been kind of in this little area that you can't get out of because it's what you've always known and always seen. And it's your dark little corner. And what I'm saying today is that the Word of God wants to shine light into that area and say, this is not all there is. There's more. In 2 Corinthians, we read the scripture earlier, but at the end of the scripture, it says, unless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine on them, they will remain unable to see and not understanding. The word shine in the Greek means to beam forth. It means to project. Right now, there are two projectors at the back of this room. And they are sending, they are projecting this image on the screen. But it doesn't stop there because behind those projectors is a computer. And whatever that computer sends to those projectors is what goes up on this screen. But it doesn't stop there because behind the projector is the computer, but behind the computer is a person. The computer can't send an image unless the person inputs it. What they allow to go in that computer is what goes up on this screen and you get to see. What we allow into our lives is what we project out and we live out in front of everybody else. So it's real easy for us to identify what we've been putting in by what's been coming out. So if you just so happen to be that person in the office who's mean and ugly every day, you might need to change what you're putting in. Do you see what I'm saying? We live our lives a lot of times like we're walking through our bedroom in the dark. We know that no one kicks the bedpost or stomps on a Lego on purpose. We don't do that. We do it accidentally. We stumble into it because we haven't taken the necessary precautions and turned the light on. This is why the Bible warns against willingly walking in darkness. God is never trying to be mean and hurtful to you when he says, this is not right. Something is not right in the eyes of God because it hurts the ones he loves the most. The reason that I correct my kids or tell them, no, don't do that, is not because I'm on some power trip and I just want to see if they can jump through a hoop. It's because if they do it, it hurts them. This is why sin is sin. This is why God says, don't do this. Because if you do, it hurts you. That's why he's so passionate about it. It's not because he just wants to, you know, lower the boom on everybody. He's trying to say, if you do this, it's going to hurt you, and I don't want to see you hurt. Walking in darkness is all through the Bible. It's an issue that God always deals with. And the reason it's so bad is because it deceives. Darkness distorts, it conceals, and ultimately it injures. And that's what God wants to stop from happening in your life. God's not trying to shine the light into your heart so that he can bring something up and embarrass you and hurt you and punish you. He wants to reveal so that he can heal. That's what he wants to do. But we have to willingly say, all right, I'll let you in to my world. I'll let you in because I know you're out for my best no matter what. That's what he wants to do. That's why he came. That's his heart's desire. It's to keep you from staring at a tree stump for the next 10 years, from stepping on that Lego that can bring any man down, and from stubbing your toe on that thing that you should be able to just walk right around. Would you stand up with me this morning? Jesus said in John chapter 12, I came into the world to be a light. Anyone who puts his trust in me will not be in darkness. And if anyone hears my words but does not believe them, I don't say he's guilty. I didn't come to tell the world that they're guilty. I came to save the world from the punishment of sin. See, you thought that he wanted to shine his light on you so he could expose how bad you were. And punish you a little bit. But really what he wanted to do was just flip the switch on and say, if you'll let me get this light turned on and shine it down your bedroom hallway, what I want to do is keep you from stubbing your toe. That's what I want to do. I want to heal. I want to fix what's broken. I want to keep you from the pain and suffering that's unneeded, where we stumble around and willingly walk in darkness. That's what he wants to do. So we put our trust in God by letting the Word of God redefine what we see. It's like a flashlight. I said earlier, if I would have had a spotlight, I could have seen clearly what I'd been looking at the whole time. Are you seeing the right thing? Or is it a distorted image? Let the Word of God be a part of your life. Let it illuminate those areas where you might not have all the understanding that you think you do. Let Him show you. He's always trying to help you, to heal you, to set you free. He always wants to do that. I don't care what you've heard or what you've thought. God's desire is good for you. It always has been, and it always will be. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Jesus said in Matthew, if we with blinded eyes and ears that are hard of hearing would just see, we could understand and we could turn. And He said, so that I could heal them. We find ourselves afraid to put our trust in God because we don't see God in the right light. And this morning, I want to say to you, God loves you. No matter how you see yourself or how you see God, I want to tell you the right way to see Him is that He loves you beyond anything you could ever imagine. And there's nothing you've done, are doing, or will do that can separate you from that love. It's been reaching for you from the beginning of time. And this morning in this place, it's still reaching out today. Father, I thank You for Your Word that even now is illuminating the hearts, the minds of everybody in this room. Father, and I pray today that not a single person would leave here today without capturing the heart of this message. That You want to help, not hurt. That You want to heal. You want to set free. Lord, we celebrate in this month the amazing gift. We remember that You gave Your Son so that in this moment right now, somebody could hear the good news that Jesus came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, was buried, and You raised Him from the dead so that today, now in this moment, we could turn everything over to You, fully trust in what You said, and become fully devoted, following after You, pouring everything that we are into trusting Your love for us. I want to pray with you today, but we're going to pray together. And we use the terminology and we say, accepted Christ. I wish that just stepping out and coming down was all you had to do, and you just kind of, here's what I want to say about that. You don't have to step out from your aisle and come down front. Here's what you have to do. In your heart, in the deepest part of who you are, when God is saying, can I be a part of your life? All you have to do is say yes. So this morning, if that's you, we're going to all pray a prayer together. I don't necessarily have to know who you are. No one else really does either, but we're going to pray together. And I'm going to tell you, if you pray together today, what you do is you turn around and say, I want to follow the Lord. Would you repeat this after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I believe today that You gave Your Son for me. No matter how bad I've been or how far I've ran, You love me. I accept that today. In the name of Jesus, amen.